The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Yes, welcome into Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell, and thank you for allowing us to be a part of your Friday night. We are inside the Quicken Loans Studios right here in Houston, Texas. And as always, all of our guests will be joining us on our celebrity guest line, powered by our good friends at Progressive Insurance. And game day, it is coming. The countdown is on, and we are here to get you set and ready as we have scheduled another outstanding lineup over the next 2 hours for one of the biggest sporting events of the year. Of course, I'm talking about Super Bowl 49. And what better way to kick off our coverage and tonight's show than introducing a gentleman who spent a total of 23 years coaching in the NFL for three different teams with the Broncos, the Giants, and the Falcons. He played or coached in a record of 9 Super Bowls, 5 with the Cowboys, 3 with Denver, and 1 with Atlanta. Of course, I'm talking about the NFL legendary coach, Dan Reeves. Good evening, Dan. It's nice to have you on, and belated happy birthday. Your birthday was last Thursday.
Yeah, they go by awful fast. The older you get, the faster they go.
Oh, well, I hope you and Pam had a chance to get out. There's some good golf courses out there in Georgia. Did you have an opportunity to tee it up?
Well, I've been playing a little bit. The weather hasn't been the greatest in the world. And the older you get, the warmer the weather needs to be for me to play. So,
well, this is always such an exciting time of year when we're talking about the Super Bowl. And let's be reflective to start off our conversation. What are some of your favorite memories of being in the Super Bowl? Can you pinpoint one, perhaps, that stands out the most, Dan?
Gosh, without question, winning the first one because we'd been close for so many years, losing in the NFC Championship game to Green Bay, and then losing to Baltimore on the last second field goal, and then to finally beat Miami and win our first one, in 71 has to be the one that, sticks out with the fondest of memories anyway.
Legendary coach Dan Reeves is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. 9 Super Bowl appearances. He spent a total of 16 years with the Cowboy organization, 5 as a player, 2 as a player coach, and 8 as an assistant coach. And you've had the opportunity, obviously, to play and work with Tom Landry. And he truly was a man by his character that just inspired those around him. Much has Dan been documented about his public persona, but having a chance to play and work so closely with him, are there some stories that you can share about just such an incredible and a legendary coach?
Well, Coach Landry was, the real deal. He was a great football coach, but he was even great a person. He was fantastic to work with. He was a stickler for details. He believed that preparation, was the greatest motivator, and always tried to have his football team prepared for every situation. I think he did a great job with that. Certainly that was something that I tried to do, as a head coach also, because that's what I felt like was one of the reasons Coach Landry was so successful. But he also had an unbelievable mind for both offense and defense, which is very difficult for, I think any of us as a head coach to do, to be involved as much as Coach Landry was offensively and defensively. But, he was brilliant on both sides of the ball, and I think spending 16 years with one coach, if I had one to pick, I would certainly pick Coach Landry.
Yes, that's incredible longevity. But what effects does that increased pressure of the Super Bowl have on you as a head coach? And perhaps what were some of the takeaways that when you transitioned into being a head coach that you took from Coach Tom Landry?
Well, there's pressure in every game that you play. And it increases as you get toward the end of the season and trying to make the playoffs. And then when you make the playoffs, you know, you lose one football game and it's all over. And there's only one team at the end of the year that's, you know, completely happy, and that's the team that, that wins the Super Bowl. So, you know, going to 9 Super Bowls was, you know, great and a tremendous experience that, you know, I wouldn't trade for anything, but I wish you could have ended with more wins, because losing that last game is very difficult to take.
Absolutely. Dan Reeves, legendary NFL coach, joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. It's been a total of 23 years coaching in the NFL with the Broncos, the Giants, and the Falcons. And let's transition now for all of our listeners and set the stage. Of course, the Seahawks, they're in their hunt for their second straight title. And, of course, the Patriots, you know, talk about feeling pressure. I mean, the Patriots with this ball scandal, it certainly has kind of taken the shine off the Super Bowl. What are your thoughts about these underinflated footballs and the mystery of this whole thing? What's your reaction when you heard all of this?
Well, really and truly, Elisa, I think it's, you know, not that big of a deal. Not that certainly doing something illegal would definitely be wrong if they did deflate the footballs for an advantage. But, you know, you're able as a quarterback to now rub the footballs to get them to a degree that, you know, you're comfortable with, you're able to practice with them. You know, the officials are then supposed to keep them at a certain level as far as the pressure is concerned. I don't think that's, you know, as big a deal to me as what the Patriots are doing as far as substitution is concerned. I think that's, you know, something that's certainly causing defenses an awful lot of problems right now with the ineligible receivers that they've got going in and out of the game. I think that's probably more of a problem for Seattle right now than worrying about whether they deflate the balls or not.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the voice of Dan Reeves, legendary NFL coach, who is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We want to extend an invitation to all of you. Join in on the conversation. You can tweet us at my Twitter handle, and that is at E Radio Sports, or you can always go back and listen to the entirety of this exclusive interview with Dan Reeves at yahoosportsradio.com/podcast. You know, talking about the Patriots, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, this is amazing. I mean, they reached their 6th Super Bowl together, but in your mind, just, you know, with all the controversy, you said perhaps it's not that big of a deal, but I mean, do you think this impacts their legacy, their reputation? And I guess, you know, just to take it a step further, I mean, it's disappointing because the Patriots, they really don't get the benefit of the doubt because of just those past transgressions.
Well, I mean, I don't think there's any question that the fact that it's been talked about and it's discussed, that you know, it's definitely something that they have to deal with. You know, the biggest question that I have is, do they really care? If they feel like they're doing, you know, everything above board, and yet, you know, they're stretching, you know, whether it's legal or not, to me, that's the big question, because they constantly are doing things that, you know, you question as to whether they're exactly ethical or not. But, you know, whether they care about it, to me, that's the bigger question.
Super Bowl 49 coverage continues with Dan Reeves, legendary NFL coach, tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. We are up against the clock. We're going to take our first commercial break. We'll be right back and rejoined with Dan Reeves. We are so glad you're with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Dan Reeves is joining us right now on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Legendary NFL coach, doesn't need any introduction. And just one more quick question about Deflategate. I mean, do you think that it threatens the NFL's image? I mean, there's already been the domestic issues earlier in the season, Ray Rice, and then, of course, Adrian Peterson. I mean, the hits just seem to keep coming. Just what are your thoughts on how the league is responding and reacting to another tsunami?
Well, I think that, you know, you can always second guess what someone's doing when you're dealing with as many players as probably 50-something players on every single team out of 32 teams.
Mm-hmm.
To think that you aren't going to have the same problems that our society is having, you know, you're naive. There's no question there'll be problems that you have to deal with, and I think the league tries to do it the right way. Certainly, if they look at the Ray Rice situation, you know, they didn't do it exactly the way that they would have liked to have done. If they had things to do over again, they would have done it differently. But, you know, I think now they realize that there is a huge problem in the NFL, and I think, you know, the league is trying to attack that in the proper way and try to teach our young people you know, how to act and how to treat other people.
Let's transition right now. Let's preview for, Super Bowl 49, and you got to love the quarterbacks. Of course, this quarterback duel with Tom Brady and Russell Wilson. When you watch Brady, what do you like?
Well, without question, he's one of the more accurate quarterbacks that I've ever seen in the National Football League. If you take his wide receivers, he can take mediocre receivers and make them extremely good because, you know, he's so accurate with the football, and he does it, knows, if you look at all of the formation and change-ups that they use week in and week out, you have to have a very bright quarterback to be able to do those things because he's the one that's orchestrating it all. And so I think not only is he very talented physically, he's very talented mentally. And on top of all of that, he's a tremendous competitor. He doesn't like to lose at anything, and you can tell that. And by having that type of a person at the quarterback position, you know, it makes everybody else work a little bit harder.
Is Tom Brady, is he the best quarterback in the NFL? You've truly coached some of the best. And, of course, we're talking about John Elway.
Well, I think when you start talking about the best, there's so many guys that you'd have to talk about in that conversation. You know, going all the way back to the man that I idolized and Johnny Unitas.
Ah.
You know, there's just been so many great quarterbacks through the years that have played that position. For him to be considered there, I think, is a tremendous honor, and there's no question that he would be in the conversation.
Well, I certainly have a soft spot in my heart for Russell Wilson. Let's get your perspective on him. I mean, here he is. Russell, Danny, he's only 26 years old, and how he overcame those four interceptions to lead that improbable comeback, 28-22 overtime win in the NFC Championship against the Packers. I mean, it was such a wild finish, but it was inspirational to watch, wasn't it?
Well, and the great quarterbacks that I was fortunate to be with, Roger Staubach, John Elway, they both had that ability. When everybody in the stadium knew you had to throw the football, they had the unique ability to do that. I think Russell Wilson is the same type of player. The tougher the situation, the better he is. I think one of the things that really struck me is what type of a player and a person that Russell Wilson is when you look back in to his college career and when he transferred to Wisconsin, you know, and being there in a short period of time, he was elected captain of his football team. To me, that speaks volumes about what type of person, you know, and player Russell Wilson is.
Well, the more meaningful the game, the more precise his game is. And you bring up his college career. You know what? He's a three-year pro now in the NFL. But he was a third-round selection in 2012 out of Wisconsin and what beat out free agent Matt Flynn. I mean, he's so, as you said, he is just so mentally tough. I mean, his father did an amazing job with him, obviously.
Well, I think you look at this Super Bowl, you'll see two quarterbacks passed up by an awful lot of people, and it goes to show you that, you know, not an exact science of trying to figure out, you know, who to draft and so forth. And, you know, gosh, I think Tom Brady was, what, a sixth-round pick.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And look at what he's accomplished now. So, you know, there's an awful lot of mistakes made out there, and I think a lot of people just like Tom Brady and just like Russell Wilson just want an opportunity to show what they can do and, you know, prove people wrong.
Hey, we are so thrilled you're with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. One of our favorites is dropping by for our Super Bowl show, Super Bowl 49, as we get you ready for it. And that, of course, is Dan Reeves, needs no introduction, the legendary NFL coach. 9 Super Bowl appearances, spent a total, as I said earlier, a total of 16 years with the Cowboys organization, 5 as a player, 3 as a player coach, and 8 as an assistant coach. So give us your analysis. I mean, what are the biggest keys when you look at this particular matchup?
Oh, it's always going to be, I think, the same things. It's a team that can run the football. That helps either one of these quarterbacks a great deal because they can dictate when they want to throw it. And then I think whoever protects the football best. So running the football, protecting the football, and who can, you know, stop the other team and get some turnovers, those are going to be the keys.
And what about, we've talked so much about the quarterback matchup, but what about Pete Carroll, Bill Belichick? I mean, this is an interesting matchup in itself, isn't it, with these two coaches who have obviously had a lot of success.
Well, they have. Both of them at one time were both at New England. And, you know, Bill has proven that he's one of the best coaches of all time, and Pete Carroll has a chance that very few coaches have done, and that's to repeat, you know, into the Super Bowl, but also to repeat as Super Bowl champions. And that would be a great accomplishment for, you know, a football coach that, you know, had his time at New England and wasn't successful there as far as ownership was concerned, but went on to coach college football and win a national championship and then, to win a Super Bowl championship. So it's a great matchup with two great coaches.
What's going to be the final outcome? Can I put you on the spot? Who will win Super Bowl 49? Come on, Dan.
Well, if I'll go ahead and pick the team I'm pulling for. I'll pick Seattle to win.
Okay. Now, one more thing. We've got to ask you this while we've got you on the air. We talked so much about that you're such a huge part of the Cowboys organization. Now, what did you think about that fourth quarter against the Packers in that divisional playoff game where the officials overturned that spectacular catch by Dez Bryant? I mean, that was an absolute heartbreaker. My question to you is, Coach Reeves, did you agree? Did the officials get the call right with Dez?
Well, I think when you and I both and everybody watching it and everybody in the stadium thinks it's a catch, then it should be a catch. So, I mean, I think to try to make it definitive enough to make it an easy call for the official is not what you're looking for. You're looking to see, you know, if a guy did have possession, had 2 feet down in inbounds. You know, the thing, if he'd have been, a yard and hit the pylon mm-hmm. and then lost the football, it'd be a touchdown. That doesn't make sense to me. So, you know, I think it's something the league has to look at and, not just try to make it easy for the officials to make the call.
Oh, it was such a tough loss for the Cowboys and a controversial call, as you say. Give us a quick hit on the Cowboys. And just, I thought they had a remarkable season. They overcame so much adversity. I mean, Romo's offseason back surgery. And just defensively, how much they stepped up this year. I thought it was huge. And you really tip your hat to Jason Garrett.
Well, you do. I mean, I think it goes to show how important a running game is. Offensive linemen, you know, are so valuable to a football team, and they came up with some good young offensive linemen that are doing a great job. A good running back just getting a running game going helps Romo, and then you got to give their staff a great deal of credit for, you know, bringing their defense around to where they played extremely well this year.
Hey, Dan Reeves has been with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Blessings to you and Pam, and we'll talk to you again real soon. Thank you so much, Coach.
You bet, Lisa. Glad to be with you, and you have a great day.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead tonight as we continue our coverage of Super Bowl 49 right here at Yahoo Sports Radio. Back with you at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, and so much of tonight's show has focused on Super Bowl 49, but let's shift gears. Let's hit the hardwood and talk some college basketball, and obviously, one of the biggest stories from this past week is Duke's Mike Krzyzewski becomes the first Division I men's coach to reach 1,000 wins, and it is such a huge, a historic milestone. What a pleasure to welcome in on our progressive celebrity guest line. That is Lee Klein. He is the contributor with Slam Magazine. He also is the owner and operates the prestigious five-star basketball camps. Good evening. How are you, Lee, on this Friday night? What does Lee Klein do on a Friday night?
A little decompress after a great week of college hoops and then getting ready for an even better weekend, which is usually when conference play peaking and percolating. The Saturdays and Sundays have just been riveting, and we've had a fun week so far with college hoops. So Friday night's a little chill time.
Oh, absolutely.
Fine household.
You bet. And you know, Lee, what a huge week it was. I mean, Notre Dame pulling off that huge upset against fourth-ranked Duke.
Yeah, no question. And, I think it's two things. One, Notre Dame, what a great selfless team we're watching unfold before our eyes, how they share the basketball and the ability – when you have guys that can stretch the defense and put five guys on the perimeter and spread Duke out, really expose some of the fundamental issues that Duke has, one as a perimeter defensive team, as well as do they really have rim protection, as you saw Notre Dame time and time again take it right into Jahlil Okafor and have success.
You're listening to the voice of Lee Klein, the contributor with Slam Magazine, who's been joining us over the past couple of weeks. He's getting us up to speed, updated on the latest that's happening with college basketball. We've been so zeroed in on college football and, of course, the NFL, the big weekend Super Bowl 49. Lee Klein also is the owner and operates the prestigious five-star basketball camps, and he is joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Now, one of the big reasons why, Lee, we wanted you on this weekend, we want to talk about Duke's Mike Krzyzewski, him becoming the first Division I men's coach to reach 1,000 wins. And we were talking about what a huge milestone that is. It really is a remarkable accomplishment and a journey as a head coach. What were your thoughts with that accomplishment?
Well, what's been most impressive about Mike Krzyzewski is not the four championships and the 1,000 victories, but his ability to adjust and adapt throughout the decades. And so I think, you know, twofold. One, he was a guy who maybe wasn't four transfers or taking one-and-done kids, and he's modified. It hasn't been about him. It's always been what's best for the program, and changed his offense, changed some of his strategy, playing some zone this year. And I think the second thing that has gotten lost in the shuffle is his influence on USA basketball.
Right.
When USA basketball was reeling after our defeat in 2004, Jerry Colangelo came to Coach Krzyzewski to help get USA basketball back on track. And so what he's done from 2006 to present has been equally as impressive, and maybe will have more long-standing effect than anything he's done, if you will, at Duke, when it's all said and done and he hangs it up.
What's interesting, too, is if you follow Coach Krzyzewski, his approach with USA basketball is completely different than on the college level and with his teams at Duke, right?
And I think it's made him, if you will, better as far as adapting to the high school kids. I mean, it's a great recruiting tool. I know if you ask him, he'll say it isn't. But everyone, if you could coach LeBron, you could coach me. And I think that's it's helped him adjust to today's athlete and sort of put his ego at times in check and be a little bit, willing to, do things differently. And he's really been great. And what he's done, not only setting and winning gold for the U.S., but also redoing the system, having it instead of let's pick a team and play. Well, no, let's keep guys together. We'll develop them. We'll meet each year and have a little development camp. And what they've done in revamping the system, grabbing kids from, 16 on up and really getting them invested in USA basketball, to me, that's been a huge influencer as far as basketball here in the country.
Thrilled you're with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. Always an invitation for you to join us online at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. You can email the show at Elissa@YahooSportsRadio.com. Lee, for all of our listeners, where can they connect with you online?
They can always catch me on Twitter, at Lee Allen Klein. That's LeighAllenKlein. And, of course, they could read our stuff on Slam, Slam Magazine, SlamOnline.com, and our five-star events, FiveStarBasketball.com, for the passionate player who wants to get their game to the next level and maybe play one day for Coach K or somebody like that.
You know, speaking of Coach K, I thought it was really interesting. You were talking about how he has adjusted, adapted his game, modified it to accommodate today's athlete. How much has the athletes today, how much has that changed from, when he won it all with Bobby Hurley and Christian Laettner?
I think it's the immediate gratification of today's society, more so than specific to today's basketball kid. He's just a microcosm of what you see in society. So the day of waiting your turn, and, back when Hurley and Laettner and that crew who were great, when they first came in, but the expectation for what freshmen were to do was minimal. Freshmen were to learn, be part of the system. Today, when you're recruiting high-caliber players, freshmen are coming in, they want to contribute, and they want to be, if you will, showcased for the NBA. And so those, when we talk about Laettner and Hurley, they didn't go to Duke for the aspiration of the NBA. They went to Duke to be great college basketball players. Today, freshmen, when they go of that high ilk, they want to be showcased to play at the next level. The college game has adjusted and is, if you will, a stepping stone to the NBA.
You know, it's been really interesting just even over the past week, just the documentary that ESPN did on Mike Krzyzewski, listening to some of his former players, his assistants, what they've shared about his approach. You know, Coach K coaches the guys from inside out, and he maximizes their strengths and minimizes their weaknesses. But he really does focus on, it's not just all about basketball, but personal growth, the development, and other things like in the future, raising a family, being a good father, and being a good husband. It's much more than just the X's and O's. He places a tremendous value on that, doesn't he?
Right. So leader, I mean, you're talking about one of the country's elite leaders in the entire country. So if it wasn't basketball and was something else, here's somebody that, you know, that's just exceptional in everything he does. And that, and it starts with the type of person you are. And anyone who gets to know him, has a chance to interact with him, can see this is just a solid, solid individual. That's one of the, you know, the best leaders. If he stayed after West Point, decided he was going to be and continue a military career, he'd probably be general by now.
Mm-hmm. So what is your view of Duke at this point? We were talking about earlier just the upset by Notre Dame. What's your view at this point of the Duke Blue Devils?
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting. We talked a little bit defensively. There's some fundamental issues about, you know, are they good enough to defend on the perimeter as well as protect the rim? And I think offensively, this is a team that has some success offensively. What I like to call, they're, you know, they've got spurt ability. They can make a great run, but they're not a sustainable offensive threat because they're just, you have, if you will, some fundamental issues. Quinn Cook and Tyus Jones are both point guards, but Duke needs them to score. Okafor and Jefferson are great in the pivot, but they share the same post. There's not the spacing that it takes to be a great, consistent offensive team. So the difference becomes who? Justice Winslow. And earlier in the season, when Winslow was playing great, Duke looked like right up there with Kentucky, shoulder to shoulder. But Winslow has struggled, as a lot of freshmen have, at this point in the season, and they have taken a step back. So they need to have a great wing presence, Duke, or they really are not at that same line as the Kentuckys, the Virginias, and the Gonzagas that we thought they were.
Always fun to pause and take some time to hit the hardwood and talk some college basketball because it will be heating up real, real soon. Lee Klein, our contributor with Slam Magazine and the owner and operator of the prestigious five-star basketball camps, has been joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Look forward to posting you up next week. Thanks, Lee. I promise the elbows won't come too hard, okay?
Okay. It should be great.
Absolutely.
Have a great weekend.
You bet. Stay warm up there in New York, and we will be right back with much more at YSR.
Okay, the NBA conversation always continues at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell, and we are inside the Quicken Loans Studios right here in Houston, Texas. And last week, we hit it hard, our coverage of the formidable Western Conference. Let's narrow our focus on the Eastern Conference and shine the spotlight on the Indiana Pacers, because this is a franchise that has been dealt many setbacks and ravaged by injuries. They're looking to get back on track after muscling through a very difficult stretch and now hosting their next three games at home with Sacramento, Detroit, and Cleveland. Joining us on the Progressive Celebrity Guest Line is the Vice President of Communications and Television Analyst for the Indiana Pacers. He is here to provide some insight on his blue and gold. That is the great Quinn Buckner. Good evening. It's nice to have you with us at YSR.
How are you? It's nice to talk with you.
Absolutely. Well, here it is. It's Friday night. Another big challenge in the Eastern Conference as you guys are going to be hosting Sacramento on Saturday night at home. It's a 7 o'clock tip at the Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Here we are, Quinn. We're just past the midpoint of the season. You guys have faced so much adversity, as I was just talking about, with all these injuries. Who or what is giving the Pacers hope that you can right the ship in the second half of the season?
You know, the nature of our organization is that we're all pretty positive about what you have. I don't think you can ever be negative because things haven't gone your way. We got a significant blow in the summer. You lose a starter in Lance Stephenson, and then you lose your best player. So you lose 20% of anything that's going to impact you. But there's also an opportunity, and that's the way the organization and Larry Bird have looked at it, to try to see guys that can get better. George Hill was injured. David West was injured. Roy was injured. So you've had all of those kind of adversities. What are the character? What's the makeup of your team? Who are the guys you can count on when people get healthy, when Paul is back full speed? Then you look at what you have and then figure out what you need to add to it. It's a little bit like any meal. Listen, you know, I don't know if you cook. I don't really do a lot of it. But anyway, at some point you put it in, you see how it's bubbling up, and you do a little taste test and see, all right, it needs a little this, a little that. And that's what the Pacers are doing now. They're looking at it while it's boiling to see who are the guys that step up. Those that don't will probably have to find their happiness somewhere else. and then you just go from there. And I think that's the only approach you can take.
You know, the president of basketball operations, you just said it, Larry Bird, at the start of the season, he said it best that this is a franchise that has had its setbacks in the past, but they have demonstrated their ability to recover. Now, of course, he said that after Paul George's devastating injury, but he has faced adversity and you guys' bounce-back ability.
Well, yeah, I think that's because that's what leadership has always talked about. I mean, Donnie Walsh had it before Larry, and Donnie Walsh, who's the great GM and president of basketball operations, is still here. He's very much involved. Larry's involved and makes sure that he imprints and impacts this organization and particularly the team with that feeling of the circumstances are what they are. You can't do anything about the circumstances.
Right.
You can do something about how you handle and or react to those circumstances, and that's got to be in a positive way. The only thing you have control over is how hard you prepare, how hard you play in the course of the game. Sometimes shots don't fall, so his first emphasis, believe it or not, is as good an offensive player as Larry is. Just make ourselves to continue to be a solid defensive team. Now, that's happened. But in this league, as you know, Alyssa, it's difficult with the Pacers, Cavs, and the Cavs have figured it out as well as others, you know, Sacramento. You've got to be solid defensively. You can score, but you got to defend. And that's what the Pacers are trying to do effectively. And what's happened here, in addition, is that there have been some struggles because you've got a number of people who are in and out of a lineup. And I know you, in your chemistry class, they always tell you, you know, you got to be careful about adding too many variables because you don't know how each variable affects that, you know, petri dish. So
yeah.
You got a little bit of that going on. And I know I get a little philosophical about it, but it is really that way in everything you do in life. But at the end of the day, you prepare, take care of what you can take care of, and work as hard as you can. The rest of it will come along, and then you make your adjustment as you need to.
You know, Quinn, it's very interesting listening to you. I think back, you had a 10-year career in the NBA. You won a title back in 84 with the Celtics, but it wasn't all smooth sailing. I mean, what kind of advice, or do you give advice to the guys when they're dealing with, as we're talking about, these injuries and just kind of muscling through difficult situations?
Well, I tell them, first of all, you got to be smart about injuries because you only have, you know, and be smart about them. This is your livelihood, but be smart about your body. I'm telling them that you make sure that you're putting, you know, high octane in your body, so make sure you eat right, sleep right. Those are important, the really important ingredients because you're playing against such high-level players. But we also, I've talked to some of them about how they prepare. Are you preparing in practice like you want to play in the game? And then, you know, they'll do what they want with that. But at the end of the day, getting down about any circumstances is not something that you need to stay down about. It's okay that you're emotional about it to the degree that it sticks to you and you use it in your preparation to do the same task you have to do the next day. And if that fuels you, then it makes sense. So it's about staying as positive about the circumstances as you can be, because anything other than that, I think, is foolish. And what can happen with that is guys will be in these circumstances, and in 10 years, most of them, some less, some more, you will be out of the game and you say, you know what, I should have done what I needed to do, which is make sure I prepared. I shouldn't have been worried about what was going on with me. And that's what I think you want to make sure guys understand and people understand in any circumstance. Because, listen, this isn't a dress rehearsal. This is life. This is real.
That's a great point. Hey, the Vice President of Communication and Television Analyst with the Indiana Pacers, Quinn Buckner, is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Here we are. We're highlighting some of the players. But what about head coach Frank Vogel? I mean, how has he guided the Pacers through a very difficult season?
Well, Frank is a positive person, and that's really what he's been very, very adamant about to the guys. Stay positive, even in games when the team doesn't play well. He'll admit the team didn't play well, but by the time he gets around to talking to them, if not that night, in preparation for the next game, he's come up with the things that went well and were very positive. And I think that's important with the guys that we have. You have to stay positive with them. But I think you have to stay realistic about it, too. And I think Frank and his staff have done a good job with that. And I think Larry Bird will enter into that conversation, but very, very seldom, to make sure that guys don't get too carried away if things are going, you know, really good, and too low if things are going bad. So I think it's a balance of the organization. I try to limit my input until guys come and speak with me. And I share the same philosophy, because I think those are the same philosophy all of us should have in any life endeavor, is that you have to move on. You have to persist, get to the other side. All of the cliches, well, there's a reason that they're still around. They're warranted, and if you do them, the right way in terms of your preparation and making sure you do it at a high level in terms of effort, the rest of it eventually comes around.
Quantify for us, Paul George, just what you guys have missed the most in terms of, I mean, obviously his leadership, his presence, his poise. And how is Paul doing?
Well, first of all, Paul George this past season was one of the top 15 players, not in the Eastern Conference, in the league.
Yeah.
All-NBA. And when you're talking about that kind of play, to quantify that would be difficult. But clearly he's a scorer. He'll know where the ball is going to go. All of that defensively is where he made his name. When he first came to the league, the thing that I noticed as I was doing the broadcast was his instincts defensively. And because he was not a confident offensive player, for people who don't know, when he came in the league, he was not a confident offensive player. He got all of his kudos and his adrenaline and all of those good vibes you get in your brain for succeeding off of defense. Well, he's become a much better offensive player because he decided that he wanted to try to impact the game on the other side. And the staff talked to him, Frank Vogel included. So you're talking about a guy that can impact the game at any moment. One of the challenges you have with teams that go through the kinds of challenges the Pacers have is, do you have somebody that can bring you some energy or create a play on either side of the ball that ignites the team? Well, Paul could do that at any moment of the game. If it's going good for the Pacers, if it's going bad for the Pacers, either way, he can do it from defensive position, from a rebound, from just getting a steal and just getting a steal and doing a 360 dunk. All of that added in is part of what you miss. So quantifying that would be hard in any analytic situation, but from a pure chemistry situation, you got to look at this as well. With him out of the lineup, now you have some people in position to try to do some things that they really aren't capable of doing, and because they're in different positions and they didn't train for that. So they're not prepared to do what they need to do. So again, quantifying it is very difficult, but those are the various ways that I can come up with, and that was not exhaustive, I'm sure, of how Paul George impacts a game. That's why when you lose a top 15 player, that's how you get really impacted.
So much more I want to get into talking about the Indiana Pacers, but we are flat out of time. We've been going one-on-one with the VP of Communications and Television Analyst for the Pacers, the great Quinn Buckner. Always an open invitation. We look forward to catching up with you again real soon. You stay warm up there in Indiana, okay?
Thank you very much. Have a good time down there.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR. You stay close.